What a segue to bring in our buddy, our pal, our friend, Mr. Paul Preston. How are you, Paul?
Hello, gang.
What's going on, Paul?
Well, first of all, I was listening to the show, but then I jump over to the phone, and, you know, the phone's on a different timer because of the delays and stuff you guys allow yourself.
Right.
So did you solve the mystery of who directed Airplane? Because I'm here to help.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Jim Abrams and Zucker.
Yep. Zucker's and Abrams, yes.
Yeah. Classics.
They went on to make Top Secret, and they directed Ruthless People, though they didn't write that. And then Jim Abrams made Hot Shots, and, it's just an ongoing comedy machine.
Wasn't Val Kilmer was in Hot Shots, yeah.
God,
he was
Top Secret,
yeah. God, he was so cute.
Oh, my God, that movie, hilarious.
Yes.
Just, I mean, so funny. And the thing about those guys is that so many people have followed in their wake to try and do, like, superhero movie and Meet the Spartans and we can do this. You can't.
Nope.
It's hard to make that look easy.
Yeah.
And so when they make it look easy, it's just super impressive.
Yeah, it's so good. And the funny thing is that it actually stands up today, that film.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a little rough, I think some people might say.
Yeah. A little bit.
The jive talking guys. I mean,
oh my God.
That's just hilarious. That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah.
That part is hilarious.
Yeah. So, Paul, real quick, buddy, how are you doing, man?
Good. I mean, listening to you guys talk about getting stuff done, might you be referring to always be producing?
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And like Jay-Z sticking to his guns. I mean, I do a podcast called The Ford Fiesta. Plug. And it's all about...
I'm sorry, what was it called?
What time does it come out? Where can you
the
find
Ford
it?
Ford Fiesta.
The Ford Fiesta.
Do you remember that little car?
It's a
little car.
Why does that sound familiar to me? The Ford Fiesta.
We're just celebrating Harrison Ford. Has that been used elsewhere?
Huh. I'm going to use that. And this is a shame, this plug.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford was around all the guys in the 70s. Like, he was in, you know, two Coppola movies. He's in, obviously... you know, two George Lucas movies, and he's in Spielberg by 81, you know, and all those guys just stuck to their guns. Nope. Every studio was like, no, you can't do this. No, you can't make Star Wars and The Godfather and Apocalypse Now and Close Encounters and Jaws. And he's on and on and on. These guys are just told they can't do it. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, were like, screw you, and they did it anyway. So there's a little bit of inspiration from today. Just read about those guys in the 70s. Just getting it done, being rock stars, being punk rock stars and legends, despite everyone saying they couldn't do it.
Yep, I'm like Sylvester Stallone. I'm tired of doing soft porn.
Sly, I mean, Sly laughed all the way to the Oscars.
I'm not even...
What? It's...
So anyway.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, Paul. We got the Oscars coming up next week, bud. Yes, exactly. Segway.
A lot of those today.
Are we doing the...
real.
Are we doing the who should win versus the will win this week?
We could play that. We want to shout out a category?
Let's kind of start from the bottom and kind of go up. What do you think for Best Supporting Actress?
Best Supporting Actress, well, the supporting actor and actress categories have sort of played themselves out to, I think, that and picture, I think, are kind of written in stone now. They've won so many awards that I think they're locks for wins on Oscar night. So for Best Supporting Actress, you've got Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks in The Color Purple, America Ferrera in Barbie, Jodie Foster in Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers, who is winning everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think she will win. Should she win? I mean, obviously, this is all subjective nonsense, you know, but I think in my opinion, sure, she's great.
Mm-hmm.
And now for that actress, too, who's been like very funny on television and like Only Murders in the Building. And,
yeah, she's
and
great.
Some other things. But then like to show this depth in The Holdovers and then there's real pain with her character. But she's also very funny because it's just a charming, funny movie. I think the miss there was to not nominate Penelope Cruz for Ferrari, which is a fantastic performance in a movie. Mm-hmm. I guess not a lot of people saw. But I think she's your will and should win of the night.
Okay. Paul, real quick, you mentioned Jodie Foster. Is this her first nomination since Silence of the Lambs?
I think she was nominated for Nell.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, she was.
She was? Okay.
There. Okay. But, yeah. And
to the Googles. Let's see.
What's that?
Oh, I said to the Googles.
To the, yes, yeah, to the internet. The internet will know.
Yeah.
And so they'll jump ahead to Best Supporting Actor and say that that's Robert Downey Jr.'s to lose. You got Sterling K. Brown, American Fiction, De Niro, given one of his better performances in years at Killers of the Flower Moon, Ryan Gosling and Barbie, who's awesome, and Mark Ruffalo, who's hilarious in Poor Things.
Oh, my gosh.
But I think
he was so great.
I mean, but something about these last few years, seeing guys we haven't seen in 4 years, there was a lot of that. Like Michael Fassbender was just in The Killer, and then he was in this the Taika Waititi soccer movie, Next Goal Wins, and I was like, I feel like I haven't seen Fassbender in a while. It had been 4 years. The lockdown just kind of screwed us out of getting some stars on our faces. Tom Cruise, same. You know, when Top Gun Maverick came back, it had been 4 years since we've seen him in something. Mm-hmm. Same with Downey. He hadn't been in anything since Endgame. And so he came roaring back in that movie, and I was like, God, it's good to see Robert Downey Jr. again. And he was so good in that role. And so they've wanted to award him since Chaplin. I think he's another lock of the night to win, and he keeps winning. He won the SAG Award. He won, you know, he won the I think he won the Golden Globe. So he just keeps winning, and will continue, I believe, on Oscar night, and he should.
Awesome, actor, best actor and actress.
Best actress. Okay, so we have Annette Bening in Naiad, Lily Gladstone in Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall, Carey Mulligan in Maestro, and Emma Stone in Poor Things.
Oof.
I think Lily Gladstone is going to win.
Because she's won so many. She's won every other award show she's gotten that, so.
It seems that way, except for when you divide the categories into drama and comedy, then like Emma Stone will win the comedy, but Lily will win the drama. So when you have just one category, Lily seems to keep winning, so I think that will continue. My money is on Sandra Hüller in a little scene movie called Anatomy of a Fall that everyone should see because it is a whip smart, like cracking whodunit. It's really good. It's like a big trial of a murder, or is it a murder, or what happened? Was it an accident? You know, it's one of those type of just big sprawling courtroom dramas from France. It's really good. And she's fantastic in it because she's the lead, and she's like, did she do it? Did she not do it? Is she likable? Is she not likable? You know, all those different things that, you know, fall into, you know, a lot of different courtroom dramas in real life play out in this movie, and it's exceptionally well directed. She's fantastic in the lead. Plus, she has a supporting role in the Best Picture nominee, The Zone of Interest.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
right.
So it's a huge year for her.
Wow.
There's some actors that just, like, and she's being recognized for it, which is great. Like, Jacob Elordi was also in Priscilla and Saltburn. Oh, and so a huge year for him, but he's got no recognition for it, which is a shame because he's also excellent as a, I think I've mentioned on this show, when he played Elvis in Priscilla. So, but, yeah, Sandra Hüller is my vote, but it's a stacked category. Carey Mulligan's excellent, you know, and, Lily Gladstone does a lot with a not showy role, so for her to be recognized is kind of impressive for the Academy, who loves to like just nominate. Oh, look at them acting! So much acting, you win not just best actor, most actor. You know, so,
so
for her to be so subtle in that movie, it's pretty impressive that she's been having the run that she has. But I still like Sandra Hüller on that night, but she won't win. I think it's going to Lily.
That'll be a good one to watch.
For actor, it's looking like after a two-way race, it's leaning towards Cillian Murphy in Oppenheimer, although also nominated in the category is Bradley Cooper in Maestro, Colman Domingo in Rustin, Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction, and the great Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers.
Yes.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Who I'd give it to, just because, I mean, Cillian Murphy's great. Oppenheimer, to me, maybe not as interesting a character as Giamatti's. Like, Giamatti's character, I just couldn't wait to see what he does next. You know, just always seemed to be a, you know, a piece of dynamite with the lit fuse walking around. You know, what's he gonna do next? Yeah, complicated and interesting, and of course the whole weird walleye thing he had going on. I mean, it's just and he, as ever, he brings depth to characters that are, you know, not necessarily outwardly likable. You never hate this guy, but kids do, you know. So like, it's the kids he teaches. So I probably would give it to Giamatti. Plus, he should have earned it for Sideways 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And he's been nominated since then for Cinderella Man, and I just think he's due. But Cillian Murphy, another fantastic career actor. And it seems like with his recent wins, he won. But I wouldn't say he's a lock. So still watch that night to see who takes that home. Could be either of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to root for Giamatti because, I mean, his career is so long. He's done so many great films. And to me, you know, he's like a Kurt Russell or a Tom Hanks. It's like if he's in something, I've got to see just this. I'll just watch just the scenes that he's in, no matter how big or small the part is. I mean, he's done so many things. Like, I loved him when they started to refranchise Planet of the Apes, you know, because he plays that orangutan.
He was good.
You know, and then to see...
Yeah, you're watching Straight Outta Compton, and it's full of so many good young actors.
Good, yeah.
Mitchell, O'Shea, you know. Jackson. Suddenly Giamatti shows up. You're like, yes?
Yeah. What was the musical with the 80s songs? Was it Rockstar? No.
Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.
Oh, yeah.
He was so good in that as the agent, you know, for Tom
He's
Cruise's
good,
character.
He's good. He pretty much, when you see Paul Giamatti, you pretty much know what you're going to get.
Yeah. And it's that full commitment, no matter how big or small that role is or that scene is, you know. And that's one thing I love about Kurt Russell, too, is because, matter of fact, last night we watched one of his first Disney films.
Kurt Russell?
Yeah. Because he did, like, what, 8 or 9 films, I think, for Disney.
And which one did you see? The Barefoot Executive, Computer Wore Tennis Shoes?
No, The Strongest Man in the World.
Strongest Man in the World? That's a great one.
Yeah. You know, and it you know, and the thing is, it's like you see him at the beginning, nothing in the middle, you know, and then you see him at the end, you know, and but even then you see the commitment that he had as a young actor doing those, and he makes those scenes good. So when you see him later on, whether he's playing Snake or whether he's playing Wyatt Earp or you know, whatever
That's
character,
fire.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't matter. It's like those scenes are good. And he can make a bad movie look good.
Well, let's watch like Deepwater Horizon. You know, he's fantastic in that movie.
Or even that superhero. Was it Superhero High or something like that? Or Sky High?
Yeah. Sky High, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a horrible film. You know, it's a nice little premise.
It's a family joint. I didn't see that one. I don't know which one you're talking about.
But when you watch Kurt in it, though, it's like you're drawn in.
Because you just want to see Kurt Russell, right?
Yeah.
He's Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
He's Kurt Russell. That's Snake Plissken.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
exactly.
I always thought that about Will Ferrell, too. Like,
that's
Will Ferrell.
Oh, gosh, yeah. It's
terrible movies, but he is hilarious in the movie. Yeah.
And see, the only one.
Not being funny, it's not his fault most of the time.
See, the only one I really like him in is Elf.
What?
Well, Elf is brilliant, and he's great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a classic.
Everything else I could care less about.
Get Hard was hilarious.
I like Old School.
Old School, yes.
Land of the Lost is terrible. He is hilarious.
Stranger Than Fiction was
amazing. Actually, Land of the Lost wasn't that bad. That was actually
amazing,
that was
too.
All I know, whenever I think of Kurt Russell, I think of Jack Burton.
Oh, yeah.
Jack Burton, man. Pork Chop Express, baby.
Pork Chop.
Pork Chop Express, baby. Come on, man. I like that. See, that's a dope movie. That's a call. Yeah. I love that movie.
Well, I hope Giamatti does get it, though. So, all right. Director and best film?
Best director seems to be a lock as well. This is Oppenheimer's year, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll jump straight to picture because... Oppenheimer won the BAFTA, the SAG Ensemble Award, Critics' Choice, BGA, the Golden Globe, the Producers Guild. It even won People's Choice and won a Grammy. This is winner. So, and I think because it won the DGA award, that's often a predictor of that's the Directors Guild.
Right.
They give it out. Whoever they give it to usually wins the Oscar as well, even if sometimes it doesn't align with the picture, which is always weird. I may have ranted about this before, but back when A Few Good Men was nominated for 7 Oscars,
oh yeah,
Rob Reiner wasn't one of them.
Yeah,
it's like, well, this film's nominated for, you know, this is coming a few years after Driving Miss Daisy won Best Picture without their director being nominated.
Yeah.
So he's like, what we should do is when a movie wins Best Picture, you give an Oscar to the producers, you give an Oscar to the director. There it is. But I understand that the Academy's director's branch want to nominate one of their own. But when it doesn't align with picture and director, it's always very weird. But anyway, they're nominating, or they gave their award, the DGA award, to Nolan, and the producers gave their award to Oppenheimer. So I think those are both your winners in both of those categories. That being said, I think I can fall in line with that too for director. Jonathan Glazer's The Zone of Interest is fantastic. Yorgos Lanthimos, never been a big fan, although I can see how original he is. Scorsese, of course, brilliant as ever. Justine Triet is a fantastic nomination for the Anatomy of a Fall film I was just telling you about. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a surprise nomination for her as best director. But I think Christopher Nolan does a masterful job of creating a huge epic story of Oppenheimer and holding it all together. And, you know, his movies just have this driving pace, whether it's Dunkirk or Inception or Dark Knight. He's a and so he even brought that to like drama, you know, so it just never relents and he holds it all together, you know, with his editor. And so he's just great. And he always gets great performances out of a cast that's always stellar. Every one of his movies is just stacked with good actors.
Indeed.
Last thing I'll say is for Best Picture, would I give it to Oppenheimer? Controversial take, perhaps. Who I would give it to, Barbie.
Really?
Woo-hoo! just to say F you that Margot Robbie wasn't nominated.
Well, you know, that's true, but she is nominated as a producer of Barbie. So
Still,
but the interesting thing about that whole controversy, of course, is that Ryan Gosling, of course, was nominated. So people are like, well, they nominated the guy from Barbie that goes against everything the movie's about. It's kind of an interesting take, but it's not like the actors branch voted for, you know, Ryan Gosling for Best Actress.
Right. Indeed.
Well, you know, five other actresses over. I mean, it's a great year. It's a great thing you can say when the actress category is overstacked. You know,
that's true.
Sometimes you're like struggling to find good roles for actresses.
That's
true. This year, there's more people that you could nominate than there are spaces for them.
I'm just wondering if a lot of people feel way towards Margot Robbie the way they felt towards DiCaprio on Titanic.
Show us some real metal, you know, not instead of just a big fluffy box office thing, or
well, no, because I mean, he got passed up for Best Actor on that.
True, but he came back and showed him, and I hope she does the same.
Yeah. You know, and that was a shame, you know, there. Whereas, you know, I remember, we talked about earlier, Silence of the Lambs, when both Jodie Foster and Anthony Hopkins won for Best Actor and Actress, you know, and it was, and the funny thing is that, you know, she had more screen time than he did. I think he only had, 12 minutes of total screen time or something like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Judy Dench won for Shakespeare in Love. She was on the screen for 8 minutes.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I forgot about
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Cameo than the supporting actress. But when you're that good and you leave an impression, I guess, you know. I mean, how often have people imitated Hannibal Lecter for 30 years now?
Right, exactly.
Indeed.
Clearly left them.
All the different
but
references.
I think Barbie punches way above its weight class. You know, that movie should have just been a dopey summer movie about, you know, that's basically Mattel hawking a product. And to handle sexism and, you know, the patriarchy the patriarchy,
yep.
That word should never come up in a movie called Barbie.
Well, Greta Gerwig, there you go.
Say again?
Greta Gerwig, she's going to do that. That's her lot in life is just fighting the good fight.
And Noah Baumbach on board was your first step to making this more than just a dumb summer movie.
Yeah.
And I think it prevailed at that. And it's funny as hell. It's just super funny.
It was.
Cool. Awesome.
And there's Will Ferrell again being hilarious.
Exactly.
Well, buddy, thank you so much, my friend, kind of going over those with us. And I know we're going to have a get together here that Sunday night and everything. So are you going to be doing anything that night yourself or?
It's kind of church for me. I kind of just withdraw and sit and watch.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a solo thing.
I do take to Twitter, though, so hit the movie guys or P. Preston LA on X, I guess, and Instagram and Facebook, because I'll be out there cracking wise.
And what was that podcast you have about a car?
Poor Harrison. Fiesta. oh gosh, do you remember this? My neighbors had a little Ford Fiesta.
Did you let him promote his podcast, please?
I just can't get out of my head now.
Jeez.
TheMovieGuys.net, you'll find the Ford Fiesta and many other podcasts there, including a new ramp up podcast called Countdown to 5 Ghostbusters, where we're getting hyped for the new Ghostbusters.
Next, we got to talk about that next time, brother.
Indeed. Yeah, hopefully after we've seen it, we can reconnect here and chat. And enjoy the Oscars and fuck Will Smith. All right.
Okay, brother. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Later.
All right, take care.
It's the WB.
Oh, shit.